Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Sunday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and will rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The first word, again, is a men's ministry that focuses on getting men back to the altar of God, where they can learn to take up their leadership roles in their churches, families, and communities. And what we mean by getting back to the altar of God is getting back to the Word of God, getting back into the presence of God for that leadership and direction that gives us the ability to perform our role as leaders. And so that's what we're doing on the first word. And primarily what we're doing is we're going through the books of Proverbs that gives us wisdom from God on how to deal with everyday life situations and circumstances. And I find that's very important for men, particularly men of God, to understand that God has a plan. And when we line up our lives with God's plan, what happens is we begin to get the wisdom and the understanding of God in our lives, and we're better able to work effectively in leadership roles in our churches, our family, and our communities. But I find a lot of times if we're trying to do it on our own wisdom or our own knowledge, matter of fact, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And when you begin to understand that and begin to seek godly wisdom for everything in your life, what will happen is you'll begin to be the effective leader in your church, your home, and your community. So that's what we're trying to do in the first word. So in the book of Proverbs, and there's a proverb for every day of the month, and so the day being the 17th, we're going to go to Proverbs 17. And in that proverb, when I was reading it, there was one that stood out to me in Proverbs 17:17. That's chapter 17, verse 17. And it says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And that struck me as something that we as men really need to understand, that there's a brotherly love, that camaraderie, there's a fellowship that men should have, and that we should love each other at all times. And that's not just to be in agreement all the time, but we should love each other enough to be able to deal with the ups and downs of relationships, the ups and downs of life that happen, because none of us are perfect. And what we have to do is we have to understand that when one of us falls down, we should have enough love with each other to be able to not laugh, ridicule, or scorn, but to love that brother enough to be able to reach out, reach down anywhere we can to try to help him. And that's what we wanted to talk about today, is how do we build that back up? How do we get into relationship with that as men, godly men of church, community, and our families, is that we lean on each other to help each other out, because a lot of times we all have different stories, but a lot of times our stories are similar. Looks like we got a caller on the line, so we're going to pick 7348. 7348, you're on air.
Yes,
7348.
Good morning.
Who is this?
Hey, this is Mr. Jake Pastor. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
How about you, sir?
I'm blessed this morning. I know you're on a mission this morning. you got a busy day, but God is able. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. I thought you was out there trying to find a rental car and a whole bunch of stuff to get to West Virginia.
Yeah, getting ready. Gotta get the word, though.
But I was looking at verse 17 where it talks about the Proverbs 17. It talks about a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So in that verse, Dr. Grimes, it's like you have to love your brother, and you have to be there for him. And it's like you find out who your true friends are when adversity comes. And that's what I like about the Bible. The Bible doesn't pull any punch and say life is going to be so smooth and not no frustration and no adversity in it. But it says that, you know, men, when we first started this first word, iron sharpens iron, we're supposed to be there when the time of adversity comes. And what I find too many times is people get joy out of seeing someone else struggle, or get joy out of seeing someone else have difficulty. But that's not how God intended it. God intended it for us to understand that just like that man might have a flat tire today, you might have a flat tire the same day or next week. And, you know, if you need someone to assist you with it, you know, we should be there to assist and not ridicule and not scorn. You know, love is a powerful thing. And I'm not talking about loving what people do wrong, but loving someone because they are made in the image of God, and that they are a brother in Christ or in the Lord. And when we begin to start doing those things, we begin to start learning and gleaning wisdom and understanding from each other who've been through some things that can help those who might be experience what we've been through right now get through their adversity. Dr. Grimes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this passage of Scripture is so on point in a day and age where we're so quick to call everybody our friend and, oh, this is my brother. You know, it really takes time to show us what true friends are. And I think that we ought to be careful who we call our friends, because according to the Word of God, a friend loves at all times. And I found that, you know, in the society in which we live, if you have things, if you have money, if you're successful, mm-hmm. everybody wants to be your friend. Everybody wants to say that they know you and try to have some type of connection with you. But you find out who your real friends are when you hit hard times, when you hit rock bottom, and you begin to look around and notice that there are fewer and fewer people around that's when you really find out who your true friends are. And some people have experienced that and have made excuses for people and of why people weren't there. But the word is very plain. And so when we are at our lowest of lows, we need to really take inventory and find out and remember who was there, because those are the people who have truly shown us the love of God and have shown us that they are truly worthy of the title friend.
And that's so powerful. And you know, speaking, you know, from a young man, my father, you know, parents would always tell me, you know, make sure you choose your friends wisely. And they would tell me everybody's not your friend. Like you mentioned earlier, you know, as long as you got money, you got transportation, you got, you know, food and all of the niceties, you know, everybody want to hang around and jump on the bandwagon. But who's going to be there when your record is 0-15? Who's going to be there when the only thing you got in the fridge is, you know, some mayonnaise and some moldy cheese? And, you know, those are the ones that will show themselves as someone being there in times of adversity. And that word adversity means that things are adverse to the normal. So when things are not going the way they normally should, who's going to be there to assist, to guide you, to be someone you can talk to be someone that you can turn to until things get back to where it should be? And I think that's a very good trying thing, is to look around in your life and say, hey, who was there? You know, I got a whole lot of people talking, but who was there when I was in the hospital? Or who was there, you know, when I didn't have a job? Or who was there when, you know, things were going wrong with my kids or my husband or my wife? Who was there to, you know, pray with me? Who was there, you know, when I called them late in night or early in the morning? And that's not to say that they're just a person, a friend is just a person that is a yes man or is going to agree with you. But I think a true friend will have enough godliness in them to tell you when you're wrong or to give you instruction to say, hey, I love you, but, you know, this is, you know, what the word says, and let's do what the word says. Not to be critical or self-righteous, but to say, hey, let's do what the word says. Not the grind.
Amen. I agree. And it says at all times. And at all times, we're not always right. But it takes a real friend that's, like you said, is not a yes man or yes, you know, somebody that wants to agree with everything you say. A real friend is going to say, look, I love you, but no, you're wrong. And they're going to still love us anyway, even though we're wrong, even though they show us we're wrong, whether we agree or disagree, they still going to love us because that's the love of God. But the love of God also brings about correction and wisdom and understanding. And so true friends will apply all those principles in our life, and we would do the same or should do the same for our friends. And, you know, I noticed another thing which says a brother is born for adversity. And, you know, God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But what I take from that is that he has birthed people in our life to be there for us in the times of adversity, because he knows that in the human nature of us, that it's going to be easier to get through some things if we have a little bit of folks on our side to help us along the way.
Absolutely. And I find that to be so true, that God will put somebody in your life that will, and I mean, we've gotten, you know, in some embarrassing situations in our life. We've gotten in some situations where it's not funny, it's not pleasant, but someone that has enough wisdom, who's been there and done that, to realize, hey, you know, this is not a good situation, but with God on your side, he can get through it. And these are the choices that we need to make, you know, and I'll be there to help you, you know, to make these choices. And I always tell, you know, the young men, you know, you gotta have some act right though. You know, you gotta want, you know, this thing to go God's way. And as long as you got some act right, you know, whatever I can do to help you, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, if you want to go out there and do it on your own, I'm still going to love you, still going to pray for you, still going to treat you with respect. but I can't go that way with you. And so as a friend, I'll be here. Whatever I can do, that's what I'll do. And these are the things that God wants you to do. And sometimes a friend, you have to wait it out. Oh, my God. Sometimes you got to be like, oh, I can see it, but they can't see it. And you have to be there in a support role until they can see it. And sometimes that's difficult. It's difficult. But that's that friend that is born for that adversity, is that they can see it. They can see it while you don't see it, but they're still encouraging you, still praying for you. Every time they see you, they treat you with love and respect and kindness. And then when you come around, they don't say, I told you so. They don't say, throw up in your face, see, you should have did this a long time ago. They just understand that God got the victory by making that change in your life. Dr. Graham.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to add that, you know, in the cycle of life, you know, sometimes we up, but a true friend understands that just like I'm up today, you know, they may be up tomorrow. And so it's a cycle of when somebody chooses to be there through you through it all, realizing that there may be a time when we're down, and that same friend that helped us when we were down, we're going to need them, or the same person that we helped when they were down, when we are down, they're going to be there to help us. And so it's a continual relationship through the cycle of life where you're up, you're down, but where you have somebody to help you along the way, you help each other.
Yeah, it's so critical, man, because, you know, you never know from day to day or hour to hour when you're going to be up or when you're going to be down. Things happen so fast in the world. You know, and we have to really begin to start building fellowships and relationships with other men of God to stay prayed up and stay humble, stay focused on the things that really matter. I found that bitches, you know, are fleeting, you know. But when you can sit down and just break bread with someone, you know, it doesn't have to be anything but bread, you know, and have a good word of conversation about God and about what he's doing in your life, those moments are priceless. I mean, you can get caught up in the things of the world and cars, money, and fame and fortune. But, you know, it is a thing to know someone who was there for you. I know we had a moment on yesterday when we were doing our young people's outreach, where we were looking at a young man who got shot 9 times, and we were seeing him interact just as he was healed completely, 100%, with these other people. And we reflected back to how we were in support of Dr. Lee, and we went to the hospital that time, and we just, you know, when he was shot, and, you know, we just talked, we just prayed. And, you know, those moments, it is priceless to see what God has done. And you looked at me and I looked at you, and we couldn't say but so much. But it was just like those moments, I know that you were there for him, you were there for his father and his family. And it was just, it wasn't anything big that we did. We went, we visited, we had prayer. And, you know, those are the things that really make a difference in your life. And, you know, I thank God for those moments, and it's priceless. You can't put those into the words. So I'm struggling now to try to put it into words, but it's priceless. But those are the things that friends do. Dr. Graham.
Hey, man, you know, you're so on the money, Pastor. You know, when I think back to that day that we went to the hospital, and, you know, the reality was, here he was in a situation where he could have lost his life. You know, I don't know too many people who have been shot that many times and survived. There's some people who one bullet has been enough to take them out. And so it was just so amazing to see the power of God on yesterday, that not only that is this young man walking and talking and living life, but I saw the joy of the Lord on him. I mean, he came out to fellowship with some young people through bowling, but as he was bowling, I mean, every time he rolled the ball, it was just almost like he was just grateful to God to be able to be there to roll the ball. Whether he hit a pin or he didn't hit a pin, he still had that same exuberance about life. And, you know, you touched on something when you said that we just fellowship with him. You know, we didn't go there for any outside show, form, or fashion, but to pray with that young man and to tell him that God loves him and that, you know, we're here for him. And now that he's up, you know, he came back because he felt that love. And what I saw was that illustration that you just shared is that sometimes all we have to do is be there. And being there for people is enough to maybe sometimes change their life. I've never seen them at the church. I've never seen them at a church event before. But who knows, maybe that one-time encounter was enough for him to establish a relationship with the Lord and now want to be connected and go from that bed to now being a warrior for Christ, where he can be a leader to the young people and tell them about what God has done in his life.
It was a moment, man. And you know, in the midst of, you know, 200 people in the molar now, you know, and just to see that, you know, it was just a moment. Like I said, I couldn't say too much. All I could do is look. And I mean, just look at his dad and just look at him and just say, wow, you know, it's truly something. And I know he was going through something. I know his father, his mother was going through something. And just someone just to come by, you know, in the hospital and just to say, hey, God loves you. I love you. Whatever you need, you know, just give it to God. And that is a friend that was born for adversity. And so when you have people that can do those things, being led by God. I remember it was cold that day. We had parked on the other side of the hospital. The wind was kicking, and, you know, it was just a thing, you know. But it wasn't a burden. It was something that was in our hearts to do because we love, you know, our brother, and we were concerned for his family and his loved one. That's genuine friendship. That's someone that adversity comes, that someone's there, and that as men is priceless when you have people that will do that. And I think our fellowship, you know, with each other as men will grow as we begin to start showing ourselves friendly. And there's another proverb that says, he that has friends must first show himself friendly. And when we begin to start showing ourselves friendly, getting understanding, it's not all about being in worship or coming to church, but it's all about relationship. With personal relationship with God, relationship with each other. And then what happens is our worship and our fellowship becomes stronger, and our bonds become stronger because we understand that life is real and things happen, and we don't live by ourselves. And if there's other people there to share our experience and be there with us through some adversity, then our relationship with God gets that much stronger. Dr. Grimes?
You know, I don't really have anything else to add to that. I think you're right on the money.
He's got... I know that it's very few times that you can see that God has began to work on people, and you haven't seen him for a while. And then when you see him again, and it's like, wow, look what God has done. That blows me away. And it lets us know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And you never know who you're ministering to. You never know what words you might have said. You never know who you have shown yourself friendly to, sort of like when you were ministering at the funeral of Brother Ivy, and those young men rekindled their relationship with you because you had showed yourself friendly to them, and they remembered that. And now, you know, it's rekindled that relationship, and you ministered and you helped them, and you're still ministering. I saw Joey and the joy that was on his face yesterday, and they missed that. And I think as men, we have to continue to encourage that. We have to continue to promote that because when we show ourselves friendly, and sometimes men go astray, young men go astray, but to let them know we're still here, we're still ministering, we're still loving, And to see them to come back, that's a blessing from God to see them come back and be changed and renewed. Dr. Graham?
Yeah, I'm reminded of the prodigal son. And one thing about it is that the son never stopped being the son and the father never stopped being the father. And so as we continue in ministry, like you said, just establish relationships with people in love. And in doing so, you know, some people have already been exposed to the word of God. Some people already love God as they're saved, and they're just looking for a church home or they're looking for a way back in. And so, you know, one thing that you always say to me is keep them close. And I wish that, you know, when I look back over my life, I wish that I had some strong men of God that kept me close.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world has a lot to offer. And so what we found in dealing with some of these young men is that, you know, you get to 18, and the consensus is, well, you're done with the youth ministry, and you're kind of turned and let loose into the world. Well, the world is waiting with outstretched arms, with many things to capture your attention and to give you pleasure. But if we had something for young adult Christian men to keep them close, to stay in the fold, perhaps some of us wouldn't have made some of the choices or the mistakes that we've made, but we weren't kept close, and so we were able to have our focus diverted. And so, you know, that's one thing that we just have to continue to keep these young people in relationship and keep the brothers close.
Amen. Amen. All right, it's been good word today, man. Good word. You want to have last words and close us out with prayer?
Sure. One last thing I would say is that it's easy for us to always focus on others when we look at this and think about a brother being born for adversity and a friend. But I would say that we need to seek to be that friend that loves at all times. And we need to be that brother that was born for the adversity to help others through their pain. And with that being said, I close out in prayer. Mighty, merciful God, our Father, we just thank you for the first word this morning. We thank you for your word, your scripture. We thank you, God, for our pastor, Pastor Kayson. We pray that you will continue to lead and guide him as he has this vision for the first word. We pray, oh God, that you would raise up some good Christian brothers that would come out and be willing to establish relationships and go out into a dying world, oh God, and tell them about a living Savior. Lord, give us the strength to continue on this race, oh God, knowing that this race that we run is not in vain. In Jesus' name we pray, oh God, that as we prepare to go into our worship experience this morning, oh God, that your Holy Ghost will reign supreme from church to church, from heart to heart, from breast to breast, oh God, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's going to do it for the first word. Pray that you have an awesome worship today. We'll talk to you next week. God bless.